Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, James Jones. It's March 3rd, 2016, or 4th, depending on where you are in the world. And we just had our first real, you know, real Nintendo Direct since November. They recorded it, or they did it today, same time around the world. And they had some new announcements in there, and we decided we were going to do an episode devoted entirely to this. And that's slightly a lie, because actually, this is part one of a two-part episode this week. Part two, which will come out during the normal Sunday evening slot, is our long-teased Xenoblade Chronicles X spoiler cast. I guess this is also episode 466. I don't know, but I'm joined by John.
Pleasure to be here, James, as always.
Greg.
Ahoy, ahoy, everyone.
And Guillaume.
I'm here from in the land where Super Nintendo games on the new 3DS are $12. And I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, you're not the only one that's had a sort of exchange rate adjustment. Because on Wii U, they're still tied to the old Wii pricing. So Super Nintendo games are like £5.50 or something in pounds, whereas on the 3DS, you know, the new 3DS doesn't have that sort of anchor, so they're like £7.20.
Ah, that's ridiculous.
The Liberal Party is ruining Canada. But yes, Guillaume's actually given away one of the announcements that was given away a couple days before.
Did I spoil it?
No, you didn't. I just wanted to make
the podcast before the podcast.
To make the joke about the fact that pretty much everything leaked ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some stuff would be rumored even before the leaks, but then the leaks kind of, you know, like confirmed some, or you know, seemed to confirm or at least substantiate some of those rumors, and then you know, also presented us with things that were completely kind of out of the blue hitherto. I know we've had an email about this that we might do in a future listener mail segment, but it is getting out of control. I mean, really severe.
It is, but at the same time, they've done a remarkable job keeping NX relatively under control.
I guess, that's where they're directing all their efforts to keep their mouth shut, and then somehow it's just sort of sublimating in blathering about everything else.
Yeah, so, of course, we spoke, Guillaume mentioned that we're finally getting something to make the new 3DS worthwhile.
It's kind of coming a little bit late, isn't it?
A little bit late?
Well, yeah, in terms of, you know, it could have been last year, you know, presumably. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, I mean, some of it may just be of the extent to which the new 3DS was rushed onto market, because it's more about ginning up the hardware sales that are tailing off rather than actually any kind of feature set or software plan. But still, it seems like the kind of thing that could have happened sooner.
Yeah, absolutely, because up until now, you only had Xenoblade Chronicles and the Isaac...
Binding of Isaac.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's two... Are those the only two new 3DS exclusives?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly not enough.
I don't even think there's that many in the way of new 3DS enhanced games. Like, there's maybe a handful.
Yeah. Obviously you got games where you could use the circle pad for camera control at Majora's Mask, but that's, you know, a sort of relatively minor convenience. There's somewhere it might cut down like loading and stuff like that. I think Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate falls into that category, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy Explorers does not. It just, you know, it takes into account the C-stick, because it takes into account a circle pad Pro if you've got one. But it does not speed up anything. It doesn't improve visually anything. It's not even 3D. So,
and I will say that the Japanese listing for the new for the Virtual Console on new 3DS is way, way, way deeper and better and more enjoyable, because it's got a lot of third party stuff on there. It's like 20 something games.
It's the same old song.
Yeah, it's depressing. Like I see two Mega Man X games on there. I go, oh. Oh, I'm getting shakes now.
I assume they'll, you know, stuff like that will get there eventually, but as I say, it always seems to be, How many conversations have you had about trying to puzzle out, you know, how they make these decisions or this, that, and the other? But the general kind of patterns are they tend to favour a sort of slower kind of drip feed of releases. And, yeah, it tends to be pared back from the deeper third-party cuts with some exceptions. You know, it tends to be more the kind of the first-party stuff and some third-party things, you know, like for instance in Japan you have TG16 games on Wii U Virtual Console, whereas we don't.
What's more damning is that Japan is getting basically half off on a lot of these games if you sign up for the Nintendo account, which is upsetting.
Well, I guess we'll see if anything happens with I mean, I was kind of surprised there wasn't more in our presentations, although to be clear I've only actually seen in full the European one. Because we are recording this just a matter of hours after they've gone out, haven't had time to watch the American one yet or the Japanese. But I'm surprised it wasn't more specifics about a Nintendo account, considering how close at hand it is. It's like, it's starting this month, details will follow later. Like, that's pretty much what you get in the kind of summary kind of article that they've put on Nintendo.co.uk.
They're getting Street Fighter, as it's called, their 02.
Alpha 2, the one of the most sort of late and sort of complex Super Nintendo games.
Like that's now I will say I'm excited about the fact this has a pixel perfect mode that apparently makes these games look amazing.
Yeah, that's a big deal because this really became an issue with the NES games on there. For me, I mean, it wasn't as apparent like when they did the Ambassador games. A lot of those were quite simple, you know, early NES games, the ones that I played any of anyway, or through the Ambassador program, and of course they weren't the final versions yet,
right?
You know, but then once you got to the point where the service really launched, the emulation quality was really disappointing. I noticed it in anything with more detail, like I talked ages ago about Cyber's Quest, playing that on there, you know, and it just sort of, you know, like in the mansions and stuff, it just kind of becomes a smeared mess, you know, to look at. Really just something about not having that pixel for pixel mode has just made it look really bad. So NES emulation was big disappointment in that regard, and it's nice to know, at least I don't know about every aspect of the emulation quality yet, obviously they've only just gone live, but the fact that there's that original resolution mode, that pixel for pixel display mode, is encouraging.
They're getting four Final Fight games, I think, on this this thing.
Final Fight Guy.
Right. Which also the regular one that sucked, that was single player.
Yeah, I suppose they'll all be single player only, will they? Or are they going to have similar features to the NES? Because NES Virtual Console has, on the one thing you can say for it on 3DS is that you do have some download play in there to help you do like two player Super C or something. So. Like,
true.
I guess maybe that could happen.
I think it does. So I haven't seen that positively confirmed. So yeah, it's three Mega Man X games, a Mega Man game, two Konami games. The Konami lives on Virtual Console. a handful of Nintendo games, all of the Donkey Kong Country games, and like a whole slathering of Final Fight. Like that's a really cool lineup. And what did we get? We're gonna get Zelda, Earthbound, Super Mario World, Mario Kart,
F-Zero, Mario Kart, two Donkey Kong Country games, the first two. Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the, you know, how it's happening.
And it's good because you can't get those games anywhere else either.
They've released them on everything at this point.
Well, you finally managed to get them on a system with a really huge install base, like the new 3DS.
Yeah, exactly. I would have bought a new 3DS to play Final Fight Tough. What can I say?
I quite like Final Fight 3, but I love the idea of Final Fight Guy because they took out Cody to put Guy in it.
Yeah,
it's so great.
but it is noteworthy that the big difference in these lineups is third parties versus not third parties.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's a continuation of an existing pattern that we're kind of familiar with. So it's a shame that that's kind of seems to be continuing. The biggest thing for me though was the question of, you know, especially as we've got Nintendo account starting this month and all that, what kind of integration was there going to be? Was there going to be some kind of cross-buy discounts with Wii U? Was it going to be similar to the upgrade that you get already, you know, with Wii U if you've got the system?
system transferred, like from your Wii or whatever, then you can buy games, upgrade them for a relatively, you know, minor percentage of the overall price. Would it be something like that? And I guess it isn't, as far as I'm aware. There's none of that, which is a little disappointing, a little bit, you know, considering we're supposed to be entering this new era of more integrated, you know, with the Nintendo Network ID and the Nintendo account, My Nintendo, whatever. It's definitely going to limit the extent to which I'll be. I do have a new 3DS, but I think it'll probably just be limited to the occasional game that, for whatever reason, I feel like will really benefit from being played portably.
Yeah, I had no reason to think this was going to happen, but I was hoping that Squaresoft would finally show up in North America with some games and, you know, maybe release them both on Wii U and 3DS and, you know, buy one and you get it on both. Anyway, like, I think RPGs would have been an easy sell on a portable.
Yep.
And they've got them. They've got the back catalog there. Like I said, they've brought those out in Japan, a lot of those, Wii U, but not here.
Square Enix does not seem to care about the North American Virtual Console at all anymore.
They've done Tactics Advance, so they have dipped their toe in the water officially. I hope that's not the end.
Yeah.
God. What's an announcement that caught your eye or you're really excited about? I'll start with John.
Metroid Prime Federation Force, of course.
That's not an announcement, you monster.
It was interesting.
Well, personally,
it was interesting getting a look at it, though. To be honest, it doesn't look terrible. I'm not really here to shit.
The combat looks like Metroid Prime combat. Like, I don't understand this. Like, this doesn't look anything like Metroid Prime. No, that combat looks exactly the same.
Well, aesthetically, it doesn't look much like Metroid Prime.
But the actual mechanics of fighting, it's a lot of lock-on and circle strafing and sort of the jump strafing and the use of... I think there's a grapple beam use in there at some point. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they use an ice beam on one of the enemies, and then they just pounded it with missiles. Yeah. Like, it looks like Metroid Prime combat.
Yeah, and what interested me was the class-based... class-based gameplay too, where, like, you know, you could have kind of a tank, two DPS and a healer. That I thought that was kind of interesting. It's something certainly that was interesting for me in terms of injecting it into that series.
I like that they just base it on the what items you pick up in the loadout. Like, it's not like you're locked into a class.
Yep. And it seems like no one, like, you can't all pick the same thing, so you're always going to get a balanced team. Like, it looks like you don't have a choice. You always have to have some guy with the missiles and some guy with the healing.
It's like Zelda, where there essentially were items to select from in the lobby, and it was a mad rush to get the item you wanted, and eventually everybody had something.
Right.
But nobody had the same thing, or very limited. There were some... Yeah, anyway. I think it was a much better reveal than the one they did at E3.
Yeah, but they should really have gotten a better movie trailer voice guy.
Oh, that was terrible. That was laughable.
Yep,
it was.
So I was listening to that on my phone at work, and I thought it was just the shitty audio on my phone. Because it's like Twitch streaming on my phone's kind of meh. And then I went home and rewatched it and went, oh, it's just that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a little bit bummed out by that segment, though, just because, like, the apology tour that started at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, it was very much like, you know, like, oh, we have to make it clear to everyone that we hear them. You know, it wasn't like we're going to just kind of bypass that and pretend like it didn't happen or whatever. It's very like, oh, we've heard the criticism, you know, and they kind of even in some cases mentioned, like, oh, well, we'll get into, like, why the chibi... super deformed kind of art style at a later date or whatever. Like, yeah, it's okay.
But before then,
we will apologize further at a later date.
Yeah, and they made sure to lay down their credentials, like, okay, so I produced this game and that game, and these guys, they made this game and that game, and you love those, right? And so, you know, it was very much like, look, we know what we're doing, and, you know, we've got the right to... Like, we know how to make Metroid games, and now we're making this game.
That just made me think that one of the troopers was going to rip the helmet off, and it's Waluigi, and he does a crotch chop after he takes
it. Pure attitude.
I wish. It is interesting, though, that in the Japanese Nintendo Direct, they show Federation Force, but they don't show any of the interview. Like, that's... That they just mentioned that you can go watch it.
Yeah, I don't know whether there were so many people up in arms about that game in Japan.
No, there were not.
So I guess the apology was not as necessary.
But, you know, John, there is an email if you want to read it and be that guy. By all means.
You want me to hit it right now?
Go for it. Well, we're talking about it, so yeah, let's go for it.
Let's do it. All right, dear Greg, John, Guy, and of course Captain James Jones.
Captain.
It's finally happened. You can't just ignore it anymore. It has resurfaced, and you must address it. To whomever gets to read this email, who else would read it, really? I want you to whisper its name into the mic tenderly. Metroid Prime Federation Force. Was it good for you?
My ears.
Because it was for me. Honestly, I'm actually excited for this game in the same way one might be excited to play Chrono Cross. There's some vague genre crossover, but art style, game feel, characters, and setting are a somewhat removed element here. The internet knee-jerked on this one like they did with Wind Waker, and I don't think next-level games can really steer us wrong on a trip that will both be an interesting experiment and, more importantly, builds the world and the mythos of a franchise I love. There's plenty of games I can think of that take this approach that I love, games that are even divisive. Super Princess Peach, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Gargoyle's Quest, Prinny, Can I Really Be the Hero? Heck, I'd argue that one of my favorite games of all time is the fruits of a similar experimentation with the use of an established brand in Super Mario World 2. I have two questions on two different ends of the spectrum. Has media impressions of Federation Force better solidified your desire for this game to exist? Also, if you could have... Has media impressions of Federation Force better solidified your desire for this game to exist? All right. Also,
you're right.
If you could have some spin-offs of a franchise that doesn't necessarily focus on its main protagonist and did something radically different with the set with said franchise, what would you guys want?
I mean, the impressions on this are just starting to come out. There was a Nintendo preview event, obviously, for some members of the media. I don't know that we had anybody there, actually. But there are some people writing about this game, and it seems like it plays. It's fun. It plays well enough. I mean, yeah. I never
thought the game shouldn't exist, which is kind of what he seems to be hinting at. Like,
there's a lot of people that did.
They're idiots.
That's the reason.
Yeah, I mean, there are idiots on the internet. This is a true statement.
That's absolutely true.
But I mean, it just solidifies to me they did a really bad job in showing this game.
Probably like, showed it too early, really.
Or they just showed the wrong stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, the stuff that they showed really wasn't different, but the thing is, when they showed it the first time, you just see the chibi art style, and those are really the only details they gave you, and they showed you Blast Ball or whatever, and you're just like, what the hell is this?
That's what they showed first. I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, that was just the way they put this out the first time was really just, it was kind of a shit show.
Mm. I know why
and
they showed...
The presentation for Super Mario Maker was so well done with the tournament, right? That after that, the Blast Ball tournament just seemed like a dud.
Yep.
Oh, it was totally a dud. I mean, they could have just run it back on Smash again. Or actually, Splatoon had just come out. They could have just run a Splatoon tournament. It would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they did what they did, and ultimately it... Because they didn't acknowledge it was a Metroid game, even though it was so obviously a Metroid Prime Hunters inspired looking thing. And,
the UI, the graphics, yeah. It was
a sour note, to say the least.
Yeah, and kind of the story about the Galactic Federation against the Space Pirates. I still have to say it's like as much as they claim to be interested in investigating that story or going down that story path, I don't really think anybody else cares about it.
No, I don't see it as being appealing due to its embeddedness in the Metroid universe. That's not what has me intrigued about it at all.
Yeah.
I don't really hold that against it like some people do.
No.
But at the same time, it isn't really making it more alluring either.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it could be fine. It could be an interesting way of dealing with the fact that essentially, you have Samus, who's incredibly overpowered in pretty much all of the games.
Uh-huh.
Just massacring, I mean, just really just rampaging through space pirates. The idea of, like, well, why is it that she has to kill all of the space pirates? And it would be nice just to see maybe something else there, but ultimately, it's a spinoff. It doesn't necessarily have to add to the... I mean, Hyrule Warriors does not add to the rich narrative of the Zelda franchise.
No, and I mean, Metroid Prime
Hatsune
Hunters...
Hatsune Miku runs around shooting books at people. I mean, for God's sake.
I mean, Metroid Prime Hunters didn't really add much either, but that's kind of... That game isn't really beloved either, you know? And nobody really wanted that game either.
Yeah, it's no other M, obviously.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, Metroid Prime Hunters could not exist entirely, and the world would be no better or worse for it.
But, I mean, you could say the same thing about, like, a lot of games in spin-off territory. You could say a lot of things about main entries in series. Metroid Prime 2 could not exist, and the world would be better off for it. So
you are a sick man. You are a sick man.
I think
let's just move on.
I think the point is that I personally don't attach too much baggage to the name attached to it. If it ends up being a fun product, which it might well do, given I've enjoyed quite a few of Next Level's sort of collaborations with Nintendo.
It'll be a well-crafted game, clearly made by professionals.
I think Luigi's Mansions 2 had an online mode that some people enjoyed. I never really got to try that to sort of speak to how well that part of the game might perform.
Sucker born every minute, Greg.
it had a few bugs, but it was fun. The concept was fun.
It does seem like an extension of the same mentality that gave us Triforce Heroes. And that's fine. Like, I haven't talked about it on the show, but I did finally start playing it, and that's a fun game. It's not a core. It doesn't give you the core Zelda experience, but it gives you a portion of it, and it's well executed. And as John said, it is a game made by professionals.
It's well crafted game made by professionals. But now Metroid Prime Federation Force. I mean, I'm gonna wait for the reviews. It's that kind of game. I will. It's Metroid, so therefore I am obligated as a fan of the franchise to track it and just
to track it.
So therefore I will follow it to release, look at the reviews, and then decide forthwith.
Excellent. I'm glad that we can now bury this topic again until the game comes back out, back in the concrete container with all the radioactive waste.
Fine. I'll be fine.
But there was the other question about is there a spin-off you'd like to see focused on? I feel like we've done this relatively recently. We did it with the crossover, but I think the answer is basically anytime we can get Waluigi in anything is probably the answer.
Yeah.
And if there are no objections, Guillaume.
Yes.
What jumped out at you from this presentation?
It's going to sound like a joke, but actually Pocket Card Jockey got a big reaction over here.
Yeah.
Because Karen has got an eShop card for Christmas and still hasn't spent it on anything, and she's been playing Solitaire on her phone, and it's like we both saw that trailer and we were, wow, we need this in our lives. So
Game Freak making a different game.
Yeah, and with I don't know, it's weird. Like, it's some sort of type of Solitaire game, and also there's horse racing.
It's
and
Japanese
breed
as
the
hell.
Horses, and yeah, and the horses are cute as hell, and it looks like it has a ton of personality, and I don't know. Like, I don't know Game Freak enough to know, like, oh yeah, that's definitely their style, but it's definitely got something, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but there's not a ton to say about it, right?
Right. It was just a quickie.
So yeah, so I'll just go ahead with Kirby Planet Robobot.
Oh yeah, no, this was one of the things. I don't know whether there may have been some info about this out there before, but this is actually for me, this was one of the things that was actually out of the blue. I didn't.
Right. Yeah. Like when what's his face said one more thing, and I thought, oh, okay, they're announcing Mother 3, but no, actually Kirby Planet Robobot, and
that game looks cool as hell.
It does, but it looks very much like, you can see that they took Triple Deluxe and they took out the guts or whatever, like the level design and everything, and then they put a slightly different Kirby game in its place.
Well, I mean, I was thinking that when a console's dying, they always have to trot out a Kirby game.
We talked about this with the latter part of the cycle feature that we did. Like, Kirby owns that part of the cycle. But
yep.
I mean, I think the clearest sort of thing you could see there is that, whereas if you go back to Returns to Dreamland, it was the sort of mega powers thing, and then in Triple Deluxe you had the hypernova ability where he sucked everything inside into his mouth, and then you've got this where he's got the giant mech now. It's going to probably kind of take the place of those sections where he's kind of destroying whole bits of the level or this kind of stuff. But I mean, it looks, it looks interesting. It looks like it's going to be something that will put a new spin on those sort of.
Yeah, and the mechs looked interesting. Their design looked interesting. Like, if we can't get a new Mega Man X game, we'll take Kirby in a mech.
the robot ride armor.
So they said like the mechs can have powers and stuff as well. So you might get some variety in that. In those sections.
Yeah, and it's probably not going to excite anyone who's really down on Kirby games, but there haven't been, well, there's period. There's not that many 3DS games at the moment, so...
RPGs, yeah.
Right, so a new platformer, like, sure, like, I'll take it. I can't just play Dragon Quest and you know...
Well, yeah, you can't, because that got delayed all the way to later than it was supposed to come out, so...
That's true.
I actually... I know we say that Kirby sort of owns the end of a console life cycle, but we've been getting a lot of Kirby lately.
I think like, they've got it back at the main series. They've got it on track, so you know, I think they've got a kind of a formula that works at the moment. I mean, and I guess they'll, you know, keep using it until they feel like they hit a dead end with it. But you know, Triple Deluxe was really good, and something that uses that your basic formula. It's not, you know, tremendously exciting, but I'd be surprised if I didn't enjoy it when it comes out.
The Kirby Amiibo are going to sell like crazy in Japan, where there is this weird culture of Kirby merch in Japan that never made it out of Japan. Like, deep, insatiable need for Kirby-related merchandise in that country. And those things are going to be impossible to get a hold of, because they are adorable. Like, they're the first Amiibo, like, oh, those are adorable.
Oh, come on, Chibi Robo.
But Chibi Robo never does it for me.
It just
doesn't. But, like, those, they went to the next level on these ones. They're ridiculous.
What about Yarn Yoshi?
Yarn Yoshi is fine, but, like, there's something about the Kirby character's just simplicity that I think gives it a leg up in most scenarios. And I think the Kirby for Smash was kind of non-distinct. But this one, he's basically falling asleep on a pillow star. It's like, all right, you win. You've done it. You've crossed the Amiibo cuteness boundary. Congratulations.
I feel like I'm discovering a new facet of your personality, James.
I like the Kirby character a lot. I really like the Kirby character. It is a well-crafted...
I've seen the North American box art. He looks pretty pissed. I wonder if... I wonder if the European... Yeah, if the European box art is, you know, like... It has happened on some occasions. He doesn't look so annoyed. Does that constitute censorship?
Right.
a little
just
bit
think
of
about
Kirby.
It.
Or is it just straight up business, you know, hard, you know, calculating economist logic of just like European people don't want angry things.
That's true, they have the French.
It probably based on it's based on gun control and healthcare in the country where the game is being released.
James is going to have some editing to do.
Oh no, it's all staying. I don't give a shit. This is a rapid response podcast. Stuff stays in. All right, Greg, what jumped out at you on this one?
Well, I think it's kind of a two for one in terms of one surprised me by being in there and kind of it took up the slot of something I thought would be in there that wasn't. So Rhythm Heaven getting announced for localization is great news.
Thank God.
I mean, I've already played it exhaustively, but it's wonderful it's getting localized. Everybody's going to get to play it, and especially because it's bringing some of the GBA songs and games to Western markets for the first time and all that. That's all great. But I'm kind of surprised that was in there when it's probably quite far off, presumably, when, you know, I was kind of thinking that 3D Picross 2 would probably be that in that slot, as it were. Because, I mean, it has been rated by the German ratings organisation, the USK, best known to people outside of Germany for spoiling special edition boxes with their giant logos.
Yes.
But, you know, it does seem like 3D Picross 2 or whatever, I forget what the ratings had. It's like another round or something, I think.
I thought you said you rated adult.
But no.
that's a surprise.
That, I feel like that's the kind of thing that could be... I mean, look, it's the kind of thing you could easily just not have in a direct ever, and probably, you know, it's not such a high-profile game. You necessarily have to do a bunch of PR around it or whatever. But I thought that would be sort of coming sooner and therefore be more likely to be mentioned. And I'm sure, you know, like I said, bearing in mind that rating or whatever, I mean, we will get it sooner or later, and I'm looking forward to that. But Rhythm Heavens was less certain, so I'm glad that's taken care of. You know, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
That was a literal thank God moment for me. I was like, just thank God, because I mean that things had started to become a little dark for that game. Like, it had been a while, and Nintendo pretty much hadn't even spoken about it.
Yeah, but we waited even longer for news that Dragon Quest was getting localized.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Guess, yeah, that's not lose hope. Yeah, we still got like years ahead of us to hope for Picross 2 or whatever else.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go with mine. And there was a little thing out of Japan that we got to see, and it is a big excitement for me. It's tied into a series that I've had some fun with recently on my 3DS, and that is the Yo-Kai Watch Three Kingdoms crossover that they announced at the Japanese Nintendo Direct.
That's what you're going with.
Well, it certainly was the most surprising thing out of any of the Nintendo Directs. The idea that they said this 30th anniversary of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms game, let's make a Yo-Kai Watch spinoff, is amazing to me.
I actually got fooled by your setup. I was like, yeah, sure, Fire Emblem, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE.
I love the way they kept it as much of a mouthful.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. And the fact it's SMT reversed.
Yes.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah, I noticed that and got upset for a minute. But no, it was a good setup, and I'm pleased with myself on that one. But yes, that game was actually the one I was going to talk about. So it is, I am surprised and yet totally get leaving that game as Japanese audio.
No, we touched on this a little bit with the discussion we had about localization and all that, that this game is so deeply embedded in Japan that it would have felt really incongruous to like try and take it out of that context or adapt it very heavily. So and then of course there's the cost considerations in terms of, I have no idea, I can't imagine they've got a terrible sort of level of confidence that it's going to do
it's business. Sold awful in
yeah
Japan.
It was bad. It did poorly in Japan. It's on Wii U. It's going to be, you know, late in the Wii U's life. I mean, it makes sense.
It is mega niche game.
Yeah, and they follow the same path that Sega has taken with the Yakuza series.
Right, and it's been good for the Yakuza series.
Yeah, I mean, like, those games have, this type of game has a kind of, not a built-in fan base, but, you know, like, you can expect a certain...
There's an audience that will be there.
Yeah, there's a niche that's going to buy it, but, you know, a niche is small, so, like, you can't spend everything and you know, get all the bells and whistles. So yeah, like, try to do it smartly. Don't pay too much for voice actors and stuff. And give like the people who are going to play this game, I don't think that they're going to be all that upset that you don't get Nolan North.
If there were English voice acting, they'd probably be hoping for dual audio. I mean, that is something that is quite a consistent demand out there for RPGs.
And this game has hours and hours and hours and hours of voice acting, and it's got multiple characters who have multiple songs that they sing, and it would be almost impossible to find voice actors competent in singing, but you'd also have to rewrite all the music so that the words in English make sense and then fall into the audio track in a way that sounds good, or you just have to leave the music in Japanese and the voice acting in English. That doesn't make any goddamn sense either. So
yeah, well, it's sometimes done, like, even in stuff
that
in Canadian French here, like, you'll have all of a sudden, like, Simpsons episodes all of a sudden they're singing English with subtitles, and like, what the hell.
Yeah, I mean, it is something you can do, but I think of all of the options, they chose the least, well, I don't want to say least bad, but they chose the one that's least tough for them to justify, I think.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm glad we're going to get that game. They talked about it a lot, and it just recently got more accolades. I think Dengeki named it their best RPG of the last year. Mm. So, like, it's a very well received game. I'm excited to get a chance to play it. Subtitle doesn't bother me at all. I've played through a bunch of Yakuza games. I don't care.
Yeah. The only thing potentially that bothers me about the subtitles is that they might be too idiomatic, and I just can't deal with that. I need my stilted, weird alien dialogue.
I
might wait for the Four Pirates to patch it. I don't know.
Thank you, Guillaume, I'll see if I can find you a version where they replace all the dialogue with ellipses. That'll make you feel better? Make you feel more
yes.
at home?
Please. There is nothing ridiculous about my stance.
About 9 blocks of ellipses.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think what else I want to talk about. Well, we haven't talked about Paper Mario yet.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, this was one of the things where the rumor earlier on. You know, this wasn't just the leak that you had like the day the direct was announced. This was something that was mooted earlier than that.
Yeah.
We talked about it on the show. I said when that gets announced, it's going to have been surprise. You know, the surprise will have been spoiled, and there it was.
Yeah.
You know, that happened.
So there's not much to say outside of the game. Paper Mario looks really good in HD.
That's immediately
obvious. And now this time they've got this kind of gimmick of you're filling up the world with color, which is kind of predictable in a paper-themed game, I suppose. And then also we saw that the stickers are back in some way.
Sticker Star-esque, yeah, but with cards this time. Yeah.
That you paint.
Yeah, the big giant fan that was in the trailer for Paper Mario 3DS is back here. Yeah. So they're a big fan.
They're such a big fan of the fan that they put it in the Smash Brothers stage as well. You know,
that's right.
So they are just—they're all about that fan.
That's the thing. Though.
I personally did not play Sticker Star, so that doesn't really inform my kind of expectations about the game.
I enjoyed it for what it was, but there were parts of the game that were just unpolished. You know, like that, the game didn't make it clear what it wanted from you, and there was no real clue what the sticker you needed.
Do you think that could have been a victim of the whole, you know, the 3DS panic, like getting games out fast?
It might have been.
That was one of the first games that was shown for 3DS, wasn't it? And obviously it took longer to come to fruition because it's more complicated than Pilotwings Resort. Or whatever, but you know, like it's maybe you know, this wouldn't be such a victim of that. I don't know, but I suppose some people had more fundamental problems with the Sticker Star, that the changes to the design and all that. But I honestly never kind of put that to the test for myself.
Right. Yeah, it had more than one problem for sure. But I don't know. I might play this one. It really depends. Like, I still haven't touched Paper Jam. I still haven't bought it even because I'm kind of burned out on Mario RPGs.
Well, RPGs in general is kind of it's been
another
a
RPG
theme.
Here's like RPGs.
Yeah, but is this even an RPG?
Yeah, well, this might be lesser.
They called it action-adventure.
Yeah,
like, they straight up said that. They said that in Europe, North America, and in Japan. Action-adventure.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing. Again, it's kind of, they've been doing this for a while with Super Paper Mario and Sticker Star. And now, so, yeah, that's what I'm saying is that in some ways... while I've historically enjoyed the Mario Luigi strand of these sorts of games more than Paper Mario, this might be sort of more inviting to me than Paper Jam because that is in a style of game that, you know, we've got so many coming out right now. You know, it just doesn't feel like it, and there's been so many of them before. There's been four of them before in like a decade and a bit. That this might be more of a palate cleanser. I don't know.
It looks very nice, but it is troubling that one of the images they released has Mario finding a pack of three jumps. Like, that's a problem. I don't know why they showed that particular prompt. I think it's called three old jumps or something like that. I don't know. I wanted to see more gameplay. The Japanese, if you want to see more, the Japanese Nintendo Direct actually has more gameplay in it than the North American and European one. But again, I need to see more. Much like Greg, I skipped Sticker Star because of the word of mouth.
I wouldn't say it was explicitly word of mouth for me. It just kind of passed me by a little bit, and then I didn't get around to it afterwards.
That's fair. I mean, I skipped it for that reason. I'm actually a fan of that series much more so than the Mario and Luigi stuff, and it pained me to not get a real one because the Wii one was okay, but it really wasn't a Paper Mario game. At least it didn't feel like it. So we're back all the way to basically the GameCube, which is a long time ago. Anybody else got anything they want to talk about?
Well, I suppose we should address Star Fox because I guess the biggest thing about that is not just the idea of like, well, what were they going to show, but it's just would it still be in April? That was there was all the scuttlebutt about would it get delayed again, and you know there've been problems or whatever, and who knows what it's going to mean for the final product, how well it's going to be received when it comes out. But you know, it is coming in April. We got a date right at the end of April here in Europe, because I think they've been a bit more non-committal about it in Europe even compared to America in the past. But now it's even, we have Fire Emblem, we're not getting till May. We've had that. Yeah, obviously the European directs had to clean up some things with stuff that we're getting later, like Yo-Kai Watch and Fire Emblem. But Star Fox we're getting at the pretty much same time. And yeah, I mean, I still think it looks kind of promising, but yeah, I guess the whole issue with the control and all that, it's difficult to kind of get a good sense of it until you probably have it in your hands, which obviously I haven't had the chance to.
This is definitely the visually nicest it's looked.
Like, yeah. As you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they polished the visuals, and also, you know, I did play the game, the demo, for maybe 5-10 minutes, and it was not enough to really get a grip on the controls, so but it seems to me like it must be something that you get used to. Otherwise, like, would Nintendo really stick with that control scheme? I have to think that they wouldn't.
I mean, this could play out kind of like Splatoon did, where they kept telling us, like, no, trust me, you'll get it. And and eventually people seem to. But they also relented a little bit and said, well, here's, you don't actually have to have it. This is how you could do it otherwise. So I don't know. I don't know if this one works or it doesn't. You've played it more than I have at this point, so
right.
I'm intensely curious, because Star Fox 64 is a really important game to me. Don't fuck with me, man.
Yeah. Well, at least the structure of that game is back.
Yeah. You have Star Fox Guard to fall back onto. Don't forget.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting that they're technically selling those separately, like Bayonetta.
Yeah. Yeah, different disc and stuff. Yeah. In a package, like, and if you buy it in the eShop, you can buy the two of them for the price of the pack.
I want to interview the guy who pre-orders Star Fox Guard on the eShop and then never buys Star Fox Zero. I want to have a sit-down interview with that guy.
Well, it seems like a fun little tower defense game,
but it's
hard to see. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I mean, I played it at E3. It's pretty fun. I mean, the thing is, it makes a lot more sense as a party game. Because you've got 12 cameras to watch, and people are shouting out, like, camera 5, camera 5, and you have to jump over there and deal with it. But I don't know that it's something I pay money for. Like, it maybe $5.
Yeah, I mean, they probably felt the same way.
It having its own disc. The fact it's being pressed to a disc is insanity.
Yeah.
So, great. Good on you, Star Fox Guard. Mm-hmm. I liked the amiibo for that, for Star Fox. The high poly, low poly Super Nintendo R-Wing,
yeah,
being right. Dropped into the game.
Was the Smash Brothers amiibo one where you have the plastic?
The
like
dark
yellow
blue
thing.
The dark blue. It was a dark blue little thing on his shoe.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't P-Stand bad, but it was right. One of the early ones.
That's Captain Falcon with, yeah.
Oh, no, Captain Falcon's got a sort of, he looks like he's been impaled on glass.
Oh, my God.
No, Link's the P-Stand, right?
Yeah, Link's the P-Stand.
I see. Oh, okay.
It's a neat little, that's the kind of thing I want to see amiibo having. I want to see a lot of games have stuff. There was another game that they had amiibo integration, which, it was Kirby, I guess. It was any amiibo will do something. Now, it may not be something very impressive. In cases like Tap Link, you get Sword Kirby. Tap Mario, you get Fireball Kirby. But, you know, just if you collect amiibo, I think what Nintendo could do at the very least is just say, yeah, amiibo will do something in most games. It may not be anything earth-shattering, but it's something. You know, it's a thing. You can enjoy it.
And also
it.
Just the kind of thing they probably wouldn't have done otherwise. You know, I mean, like, it's not a big deal in Yoshi's Woolly World, but having all those costumes, like, there wouldn't have been a Shulk costume for Yoshi if it wasn't for the
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, like, so at least it feels genuinely kind of additional, even if it isn't terribly significant.
I've got some faith in that game now. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, it's Platinum and Nintendo. I've always had a fair bit of confidence. You know, like I said, the only part that's unknown is how well I'm going to kind of mesh with the controls. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I still haven't canceled my pre-order. I'm just worried if I'm going to get like a standalone, game, or if I'm going to get Project Guard with it, or what. Anyway, it's not something that affects anyone else. So
no,
anyway.
I think you'll get both. I believe I believe the read was that the retail will not be available separately.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yep.
And so, Guillaume, or sorry, John, Lost Reavers. You didn't see the, you didn't see this part of the direct, did you?
I have not seen this part of the direct, no. I was
so you know what that one is,
formerly
right?
Formerly known as a Project Treasure.
Project Treasure. This, yep. Yep, this was the Harada free-to-play game.
Yeah.
So it's coming to the West, John, as as our resident MMO expert.
Yeah.
Who's probably dealt with more than one MMO that went free-to-play.
I have. I have, as a matter of fact.
I'm interested in what your thoughts are, but you haven't seen this part, so it doesn't really seem to make much of a difference.
Yeah.
But
I'll watch it. Go ahead and talk about something else. Let me watch. I'll come back to it.
Well,
it looked all right. I mean, like, other than the stilted animation, I mean, like, it looked like a sound game design. The only thing is, we don't know what the free-to-play scheme is, right? And that can make or break that kind of game.
It's interesting that so they're having, like, a two-week open beta before it launches in April. That was kind of something that I can't think of an analog for that on Wii U.
I guess if it's free to play, the open beta just means they're going to reset everybody at the end.
Yeah, but they'll actually presumably be gathering that data and then making some kind of tunings to the experience. Probably nothing that major. But it's
been out in Japan for a little while now, so.
Exactly. So I wouldn't have thought it'd be anything that major, but you know, I guess you had the test fires with Splatoon as well, but they're obviously a bit different.
It is the only part of the direct though where I could see frame rate dips. I was like, wow, there they are. There goes the frame rate. On a phone, no less. On a cell phone, I could see frame rate dip. So that was impressive. I don't know. I'm kind of maybe even fatalistically interested in what that game ends up being. Because, I mean, it's probably not going to be very good, but it might be okay. So it's free to play. The risk is low. It's interesting to see Nintendo get something like that on their system ready to go. Although... Namco Bandai has been pursuing that in other areas, so it's not super shocking that they're the players to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks relatively simple. It's like, you know, they're not trying to push anything visually at all. It's like, hey, it's a desert, and you're playing in, you know, kind of inside a pyramid. It's like pretty much the most vanilla kind of thing.
I had a friend who used the term HD PS2 games. Which is like this is kind of like what a game that looked like in the PS2 era, that B tier of game that doesn't get made anymore.
Yeah,
it looks like one of those in HD.
Yep,
and totally right, totally spot on. That is what this game is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see that it's coming out of Japan and that they're actually going to show it here. I want to talk a little bit about Fire Emblem. The game just came out, and in fact, in the US, they talked about the new DLC packs coming out, but. They really just left it at that. Part two, I think, of the season one of DLC. In the Japanese Nintendo Direct, though, remember that game came out right after E3 last year. They announced a whole new DLC season for that game, almost a year later, that is coming out now, which is kind of amazing. And it tells you what that game has been doing. It's been trucking. DLC that they probably didn't plan because they've never mentioned a third season of DLC for this game. So, this game, I mean, but granted, the game came out here and sold like 300,000 physical copies in some tiny number of days, so whatever. That series quietly became like a core Nintendo franchise overnight, when you think about it. But what I really wanted to talk about was the Fire Emblem Cipher. I think that's what it's called. The card game. The Amiibo card game. They announced more packs of it, and I realize now, like, that's totally been removed from like any discussion in North America.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Series 5 of cards now in Japan. What in the hell? And Series 5 is what we're now going to be referring to as the Sharp FE. Was it Tokyo? I'm still trying to get the name right.
Tokyo Memories
Mirage.
Mirage. Yeah.
Mirage. Oh fuck.
Yeah. So it's a series of those cards for that thing based on those. If you don't remember what that series is, what that game is, you could be totally forgiven. It's a card battle game that has Amiibo cards with Fire Emblem characters on it. It's the craziest thing. And we're probably never going to get to see it. But they just keep making them in Japan, which tells you where that franchise is right now. That is a franchise that suddenly matters a whole hell of a lot. Anybody else?
Well, there's Monster Hunter Cross coming as Monster Hunter Generations. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems kind of interesting. You know, I've been interested following a little bit, you know, out of Japan, you know, what they're doing with the series in that. And, you know, not really a surprise that this is coming, considering it seemed like they've been, you're making progress in establishing a market for that series on 3DS. So yeah, I look forward to it coming out. Obviously they did the Fire Emblem crossovers there as well. Yeah, stuff as well.
Marth looks really bad.
The crossovers they've done have always looked a little weird. Like they did like Zero Suit Samus in the in the last game, you know, 4 Ultimate or whatever. Like they always look a bit inauthentic.
Well, yeah, because they're literally costumes, right?
Yeah.
They're Monster Hunter characters, but with
In this case, I think just seeing Marth kind of in that full 3D, because it's the same model that was in Melee, but seeing it in like a full rotate the camera 3D, I didn't realize how dumb Marth looks. Marth looks really bad. So that Marth needs to go away forever, I think. That's a bad look. But they also had more stuff coming for Mario Maker and Splatoon.
They did.
Yeah, the Mario Maker stuff is more substantial than I might have thought, and pretty interesting looking. You know, the idea of having the locked doors, keys that you could get from beating particular enemies or bosses, keys that you could get from collecting 5 pink coins that you could scatter around. Now that could, you know, obviously people have, you know, clever people have come up with sort of workarounds to achieve a similar sort of design that these items might, you know, lead you to. But it's always nice when they can make things easy and kind of take it forward and a more fully developed kind of version of these concepts when you've got the dedicated items for it. So yeah, that looks really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you could make whole new types of levels effectively, like really distinct level types that you could kind of, like you said, you could cheese before, but now really authentically make a whole different type. Because remember, the last time they added the shooter stuff.
Yep. That's right.
It is interesting to see this game continue.
And,
they
did the P-Switch doors as well, you know. Yep. So yeah, that would be between the two now. You combine the effect of the two, and I feel like, you know, the kinds of level designs that people will be able to achieve will really have opened up from the initial tool set.
Yeah, it's, and of course Splatoon was more guns and level bouncing, but it is after they said they were done, so I guess that's a positive sign for them supporting that game going forward. I expected when they showed Splatoon it'd be DLC, but...
Yeah, paid DLC. Yeah, right. You might have thought that the time had finally come for that, but doesn't mean it won't, I suppose. It still might.
It still might. So I guess that's everything I want to talk about. Anything else?
I just want to say that I had kept myself in the dark about Bravely Second, or maybe I just didn't care enough, but the Catmancer is a...
Oh, yeah, the Catmancer
made quite
amazing.
An impression over
here. Oh, yeah. I've got quite a high-level Catmancer already. Take that.
Oh, my God. It's so dumb and so awesome.
I'm trying to remember what...
Got a Catmancer and the Patissia in my party.
Oh, I think that's the yellow mage in Final Fantasy Purveyance, except it's got a friggin' cat instead. Oh, it's absurd and beautiful.
And the Azure Striker Gunvolt 2, I'm not even sure what I looked at. Was that...
That was
the first game with a patch to add a character, or was that actually the second game?
That was a second game that looked kind of uninspired.
But yeah, it's because it had a second character that could absorb boss abilities. You know, which, you know, who would have thought in that kind of game?
Yeah, no, I don't think it bears any resemblance to Mega Man X or anything like that.
You know, but I wonder if they've been talking to a guy that seems to like to crib some ideas from that franchise.
But no, it seemed interesting just because this time you dash into the enemies to tag them, and I don't know. You take what you can get.
I think although that actually sort of speaks to the kind of stuff that I was talking about with this game a couple weeks ago, where like when you played as Zero, that was the strategy. You wanted to get right up on them and attack immediately.
Right.
So maybe that's sort of how they're trying to approach that kind of gameplay and give that option to players who want to play that kind of game.
Yeah, with the new character. Yeah.
Get right up close and in their face and deal with them.
I'm interested. I'm monitoring that one.
Yeah.
I'll keep an eye on it. Like, I didn't hate the first game. It's just I didn't like the feel. It wasn't what I was in for. But unlike some other games, this one will actually come out.
Mm. Yeah. A few golden oldies in the kind of downloadable indie game sort of sizzle reel. Like, you know, Super Meat Boy is coming to Wii U, and Pinball Arcade is finally rearing its head again. That was at one point like talked about being launch window for Wii U.
Wow.
And it's finally happening quite soon. I think it'll probably happen a bit ahead of time in the States compared to Europe.
So we didn't get that sizzle
history.
Reel. That was only in the European Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. That was the big difference between the two, and of course the stuff that Europe doesn't have that we do.
Yeah, like Yoko Watch and all that kind of stuff. And also, of course, we wouldn't need Bravely Second because we've already got that, so right. It kind of goes both ways. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's already out in that reel as well. But yeah, a Pixel Junk Monsters was another one that was in the reel. That's like, yeah, with just these downloadable games of yesteryear finally gonna get a chance. But I still haven't got around to Meat Boy, so I might just play it on Xbox One because it's one of the backwards compatible games.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I don't know whether there'll be any kind of additional kind of incentive to try it on Wii U other than the obvious off TV play.
I'm interested in Pixel Junk Monster. I never played it. It's an opportunity to get a chance to play that game. In Japan, they had a sizzle reel for the eShop stuff, and it was Terraria, which was weird, and Shovel Knight, which is finally coming out in Japan, localized
and published. Yeah, isn't Nintendo publishing it?
Yeah, they are. Localized by 8-4, and I think Nintendo is also the company releasing the amiibo for it over there. Which means it's an official Nintendo amiibo now, which is weird too. But yeah, it's kind of shocking that game still isn't out in Japan and Nintendo owns it now, which is crazy to think about. We didn't get any of the eShop sizzle reel. The only thing we really got was the solitaire horse racing game, which.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, it almost told me, like, oh, okay, the eShop is kind of dead.
Right.
Like, the developers don't want to... They've seen what happens when you launch a game on it without too much fanfare and or without, you know, heavy backing from Nintendo, and they decided it's not worth it.
Well, we got Gun Vault, too, to be fair. We also got Gun Vault.
Right.
It was kind of a weird thing that Nintendo of America basically said, we're going to focus on retail games almost exclusively, and the other two regions didn't. Oh, actually, we did miss one, and nobody here is going to care about it, but it's very interesting to me. And this is another one of those things that got rumored. It's interesting as a business, not to me personally. Is
Disney Art Academy.
Yes! hold on. This is a Nintendo franchise, Art Academy, that now has an official Disney entry into the franchise. Although, again, it had been spoiled by one of the European rating agencies. Actually, that one may have been the Australians. But in the Japanese Nintendo Direct, they gave a whole ton of time to Disney. Like, they had the Art Academy. It was almost a shot-for-shot version of the exact same presentation that was in the North American one. But then they went and talked about... cover like Disney themed cover plates for the new 3DS. They talked about 3DS themes for Disney.
Like, it's like they're going back to their playing cards success. Like they would license Disney characters and make, you know, card sets.
I just wonder, like, is this part? Because remember, they did the Magical Kingdom games with them. Mm-hmm. Like, they were involved in those. Like, I wonder if this is wheeling and dealing here, because, like, this, they basically just gave Disney a chapter of this thing in Japan.
Yeah,
and those faceplates kind of look cool.
Yeah,
I don't like Disney.
I mean, I don't know. They've kind of been cozy with Disney always, like, you know, Epic Mickey and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, but this was a cure. Like, it felt out of place when they did it. Like, it was like, this is a weird Disney.
What do you mean? Like, get a room, you two? Or
Just like, very conspicuous.
Hmm.
Like, because they were rolling Nintendo stuff, and then it's Disney Art Academy, which I'd already seen the North American one, and I'd already seen that story about it coming out. But then they rolled, I was like, okay, here comes, and now it's time for Kirby, right? And here's Disney faceplates. And they had three distinct faceplate designs for the new 3DS. And here's Disney themes for your 3DS. I'm like, what? What the hell's going on right now, you guys? Is there something you're not telling us?
Kingdom Hearts 3 finally coming, exclusive to Nintendo consoles.
Oh my god, that would be the biggest dumpster fire of fan response ever. It was just weird. I just thought it was worth noting. Watch this space kind of thing.
Yeah.
But apparently one of the comics on there is just straight up an English language Mickey and Minnie comic just emblazoned on the faceplate for the 3DS, which is weird. It's very, very weird.
So what you're saying is Disney's going to buy Nintendo. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. That's it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here first, folks. Predictions.
Billions of dollars. Just here it is. Just take it.
Yep.
We've got cash to spare. Let's do it.
Well, hey, they paid, what, $4 billion for Star Wars? I mean,
something like that, yeah.
You know?
And the shambling corpse of Indiana Jones.
they bought Harrison Ford? Jesus.
They kind of did, actually.
As a man that can survive a blast in a refrigerator. So that sounds like a good investment to me.
He can survive a plane wreck. What are you talking about?
Yep.
He can't die. He drank from the cup of Christ.
Survive a train wreck of a movie.
He's immortal.
Oh, nobody survived that movie, John. No one survived that movie.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh. Okay, overall, just quick reaction. It was a solid Nintendo Direct after a pretty long gap, at least in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Solid but unspectacular. I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's cool. Some cool stuff shown.
Yeah, again, he can't get away from the fact that the impact of some of this stuff has been blunted by the leaks.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was somewhat true back in November and probably even more true now. So I don't know what to say. I don't know whether they're just behind the pace a little bit and that's why stuff is kind of leaking out, because they could have talked about it sooner, or they're just getting careless, or what? I don't know what to say, but it did blunt the impact a bit. But I mean, in general, I think, you know, it's still pretty similar format. There weren't any major changes to the European format, the before, even though we kind of heard they might be thinking about changing it more, this year. It seemed, pretty much staying the course. And it was pretty punchy, they didn't dwell on anything too long with the European one, I felt like. So that was good. I think good, decent pacing, kept all the different, tidbits coming without dwelling on anything. So, generally pretty solid success, I'd say.
Yeah, well, to me, the game of the show was Pocket Card Jockey, and
it's super nuts.
It's awesome.
It feels like a pachinko machine.
I feel like
it probably is a pachinko machine.
I think we really need to get Donald Rumsfeld's Churchill Solitaire on 3DS.
Oh,
now.
Get the complete set of Solitaire games.
You go to Solitaire with the card deck you have, not the card deck you would like to have at some later time.
Indeed.
And I was also surprised by how much quicker. One day I'll find that I'll remember Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sharp FE is going to, like, it's coming out sooner than I thought. Yep. I did not expect the summer.
Yeah. Well, you're just subbing it. You can be pretty quick.
Yeah. And you hear that they're not dubbing it, and oh, okay, that makes sense. That's why the turnaround is kind of faster than you'd expect.
You just hand off the original scripts to the translators and say, go to town.
Yeah.
It was interesting, to say the least. It was the right kind of it felt like an old style Nintendo Direct.
Yep.
Like and considering all the talk they had about, like, we're working on what Nintendo Direct's going to be. Apparently, it's going to be a Nintendo Direct. It was a little bit.
Apparently,
less...
it's going to be bringing the producer to justify his existence and his work.
it was a little bit less goofy than the other ones, except in Europe. Where they had the Yo-Kai Watch video.
Oh, yeah, Shibata doing the Gangnam style for Yo-Kai Watch. That man either doesn't know about animated GIFs or is extremely comfortable with them.
Yeah, I will say, in speaking, I know that probably looked like video from the game. It's not. That's actually from the anime where they just up-resed the 3DS models because they were too cheap to try to hand-animate the hand-drawn characters. Oh, It is an HD show where they took the 3DS game models and just up-res them, and that's the credit sequence. Oh, it's the cheapest thing ever. And then to see an executive of Nintendo chroma keyed in dancing alongside them is just...
Also had his face plastered onto one of the sort of Glee Club singers in
the Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix or whatever they call it.
Oh.
Yeah, they really don't mind embarrassing the shit out of Shibata. They just...
I appreciate that, though. I wish, they'll do that in the NOA ones, but this one was just seemed like it was Trenton standing in front of a wall and just delivering lines. I mean, yet when you have to be excited about Federation Force, it's hard. Because when you're cutting to the video of a guy justifying his game.
Exactly.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for our discussion of this Nintendo Direct. As I mentioned at the start of the show, if you're hearing this and it's not Sunday yet, we will have an episode coming up a little bit later this week, or early next week, that is our long-awaited Xenoblade retrospective. It is long. We were joking, like, it'll be about an hour, and then, no, it was like two.
Yeah.
And
only stupid people thought that it would be an hour long.
Yep. We did. We all sure did. So.
Boo.
It's...
revisionist history.
Nope. They can't see our email, Guillaume. So, it's... if you've not, of course, if you've not played the game and care about spoilers, you know, we'll be back next week. But on that, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.